I'm here.
Very good. So I think we, I'm not sure what the definition of a quorum is for this meeting, but I see lots of rectangles. So I'd like to call this meeting to order for the York Area United Fire and Rescue Pension Board Committee. Gene, I guess you'll have to, we are going to make some actions tonight. So if you could somehow document the quorum, I don't know how that, the best way to do that, Chief, but I think it should be documented because we are contemplating changing the investment policy.
You should be okay now. Of my count, we have at least 9 board members.
Okay.
Is what we should have, and I counted 7, so we should be okay.
Excellent.
Chief Hoff, can you repeat who those are? I have Mr. Hunt, Rooney, Worcester, Dvorak. Is Mr. Bishop on board?
Mr. Bishop is in, but he would be in non-voting fashion since he's a Springsbury alternate.
All right. Mr. Rhodes is there, and who else?
Mr. Rhodes is there.
I just was able to get on.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah, I had a lot of trouble this time. I don't know what the problem was.
Not sure.
Are you in York or Florida?
Please. No, I'm in York.
Maybe your computer is too cold.
I don't know. I just did another Zoom thing and I had no problems. I don't know. Leaving for Florida tomorrow. And I can't wait.
Okay. Yeah, we should be good on a quorum, Mr. Hunt.
Okay.
All righty.
And is that Joe Stoppard at the bottom?
Yes.
Very good. In your packet this evening, you saw minutes from our May 19th pension board meeting. Any comments, corrections, or additions? No. Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve them as submitted.
I'll move to approve the minutes of the May 19th, 2020 pension board meeting.
I'll second those. This is Mrs. Wingert.
Gene?
Call? Okay.
Yes, please.
All right. So, Chairman Hunt?
Yes.
Mr. Rooney?
Yes.
Mr. Worcester?
Aye.
Mr. Dvorak?
Yes.
And Ms. Wingert?
Aye.
And Mr. Rhodes?
Aye.
And Mr. Stoppard?
Aye.
Okay. Motion carried.
Thank you all. Also in your packet are various, did we see, get all of these in our packet? I only remember looking at the October one. But I'll entertain a motion to acknowledge the receipt of the documents as listed on our agenda.
I'll make a motion. To receive the documents that were listed on the agenda.
That was Mr. Rooney.
Okay. I'll second that, Mrs. Wingert.
Thank you. Okay. Chairman Hunt?
Yes.
Mr. Rooney?
Yes.
Mr. Worcester?
Aye.
Mr. Dvorak?
Yes.
Ms. Wingert?
Aye.
Mr. Rhodes?
Aye.
And Mr. Stoppard?
Yes.
And the motion is carried.
Excellent. Our financial advisors, Annette or Elizabeth, who wants to step up and tell us how good a job you're doing?
Start out. Good evening, everyone. So within the packet, Chief Huff, I don't know if you're sharing the screen. It would be attachment 5A from the packet that was sent.
Can everybody see that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So if we could scroll to the next page, please.
Just briefly, here is the cash flow for the third quarter of the year. We started out, I don't know why the market value started out the beginning of the quarter. The market value, which isn't showing up there, was at $5,609,880.24. Not sure why that page is not showing up.
Yeah.
The cash flow total receipts between cash contribution coming in, the investment income coming in, and the gains for the quarter. We had a great quarter with gains of about $258,000. The cash receipts totaled $294,287.51. And then our disbursements for the quarter, which consisted of the distributions of pension payments and the expenses of fees, totaling $83,745.43, takes the portfolio as of the end of September 30 to $5,820,422.32. I do want to point out, and Liz will probably go over kind of what's been happening in the market over the last month or so. The portfolio to date is actually at about $6,330,000. We also had in October the MMO contribution funded in. It came in on October 28th for $286,721. That's all I had on the accounting. I'll turn it over to you, Liz.
Oranges and hand soap, would it be in that closet down at on the right? Or would it be somewhere else?
It should be either in that closet or under the sink.
Hey, Joe, could you mute yourself, please?
Yeah.
Okay.
Joe, can you mute yourself?
I'm sorry. Yeah, let me look for it. I was trying to find where I can do that at.
Upper right-hand corner of your screen.
Go ahead. We can move to the next page in a while. This is just some of the fun things that we encounter when we do Zoom calls. So Annette took some of my thunder. You can see the balance in the top left-hand corner at $5.8 million. And she said we're now at $6.3 million as of this morning. And the portfolio allocation is targeted 50% equities. And that's part of our conversation tonight, whether we want to change that. But with a 50% equity allocation, your expected return over the long term is about 5.25%. And that is based on about an 8% return in equities, about 2.5% in fixed, and cash being 1.5% return. The bottom left-hand corner, you see a quick snapshot of the returns. So year to date, we're up 4.5%. This is through the end of September. And net of fees, it is 3.95, and the index is 4.9. I did look at the returns year to date through the end of yesterday's business close, and you're up, believe it or not, 9.43% before fees, and net of fees, it's up 8.75%, and the index during that period is up 9.39%. And your index at this time is 50% the Barclays Aggregate and 50% the MSCI All World Equity Index. So there's a quick snapshot for you and see if anybody has any questions. Okay. We can move to the next page. And what I'll do is as I go through this, I'll talk about what the markets have done. We want the one that's titled Asset Allocation Analysis. Talk about what the markets have done and then also what we foresee going forward. So we are all familiar that what has happened over the past month, especially since post-election, we've seen a nice rebound in the markets. And a lot of that is predicated on the uncertainty with the election, for the most part, is been resolved. It does appear that the legal challenges will not go through and that Biden is the president-elect. But up until that time, we had a lot of volatility. It has subsided a bit, and now the market is focusing on post-COVID, where we have a vaccine and it's available and distributed to all citizens. So they're focusing on that. Today was a retreat in that because they're saying, you know what, it may not be as the COVID rebound may not be as soon as what we are expecting. But what's really important is that we are emphasizing a diversified portfolio at this time. We're staying very, very close to what our long-term target allocations are during this period, especially within the major asset classes. And we're looking, you know, for a very slow economic growth and slow labor market growth, and then also a very slow profit recovery going forward. So a lot of these things are very dependent on the trajectory of COVID-19. We'll get to see how that goes. The other news that we want to share with you about the election is that we'll probably most certainly have a divided government. The expectation is that the Republicans will retain the Senate. And what that really means is that any sort of stimulus package will be less robust and that most policy decisions will stay closer to what they are and you won't have these big swings. It also will ensure that the Fed's going to continue to be very accommodative in the near term to keep the economy rolling. And as we scroll to the next page, when we look at the equity allocation within the portfolio, we are at this time contemplating some changes to this because it's all predicated on the rebound in the economy post-vaccine. But our large cap at this time is 63% of your equity portfolio. And our long-term target for domestic large cap is 40%. So you can see that we're extremely overweight in that sector. And where a lot of the underweight is in the international sector. Our typical allocation is about 37-38%, and you're currently at 20% of the portfolio, significant underweight there, especially within the developed international. So that would be your Europe and Japan at this time. We're favoring large cap growth, and this has worked really well for the portfolio through the end of September. It is when we saw the technology sector retreating in October, and then they're doing well this month, but we're actually seeing the value sector starting to outperform. So we're still favoring growth, and we discuss this every day in the office, or we should say amongst our peers over the phone, whether we should start moving more towards value and also starting to increase some of the international exposure. But we're still waiting because we feel that the worst of the COVID is not over yet. And with some of the states and municipalities starting to impose some more restrictions, we're just kind of waiting to see what happens with the economic growth. It's going to be very slow if that going forward. We're also contemplating what might happen with a Biden presidency and also what might happen with the value of the dollar. So a lower dollar would benefit the emerging market sector, and we may look to start increasing some exposure there. We're actually seeing the Pacific Rim areas do better at this point in time. But we'll also look to perhaps move into some of what we call the deep cyclical value stocks, and those are the sectors that are really tied to economic growth. So it would include any sort of materials. Could also involve bringing in some commodities into the portfolio and things like that. And that also bodes well for what we think Biden may do with some infrastructure, maybe positive with the Biden administration. I'll pause and see if anyone has any questions concerning our equity allocation. Okay. If you want to move to the next page, and we'll talk about the fixed income portfolio. And this is a representation of the individual bonds in your portfolio. It is at about 70% of the bond portfolio at this time. The balance is made up of mutual funds, and they're available for liquidity needs. They also help with some of the tactical decisions that we make, including different sectors and some duration plays. So what we have heard from the Federal Reserve is they're going to keep the Fed funds rate at 0 to 0.25% for the extended period. They're really committed to letting the inflation run hotter than the long-term target of 2%. So that tells us they're going to keep interest rates low, and they hope to then have the yield curve steepen. We're starting to see that. I don't know what the 10-year Treasury is right now, but it had been hovering around below 1%, and I think yesterday it was trying to get north of 1%. I don't know where it is today. I didn't look that up. Maybe Charles would know, but it's still pretty low.
0.864.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But what we're seeing is those interest rates are extremely low, and they can, at this point, we don't think that the only place they can go is upwards unless we have another severe recession. The other thing is your bond portfolio is A-plus rated, which is a very high credit quality. The duration of your individual bonds is about 6 1/3 years. The benchmark is at 6, but when we add in the mutual funds, we actually bring the total portfolio duration down to 5 years, making it less sensitive to interest rate changes. A couple other things I want to mention is that we're focusing on corporate exposure as opposed to government exposure. So your portfolio is about over 50% is in corporate investment grade, whereas the benchmark is 32%. So a lot of exposure to the corporate field. The other thing is there's about a 5% exposure to the high yield market. Your policy allows us to go up to 10%. It has been trimmed back down to about 5% of the portfolio. Are there any questions you might have? Okay. I'm going to flip forward a number of pages to the one titled Portfolio Performance Detail. And I would say it's about 5 pages later. And there we are. Thank you. What I want to emphasize here is the fixed income returns, and you can see that bolded in the dark, in the black. For the quarter, you're up 1 2/3%, and the Barclays aggregate was up 0.6%. Year to date, we're on par with the benchmark. We're up 6 3/4 versus 6.8%. Part of the issue is in the beginning of the year, and we're finally climbing back from it, is that high yield exposure did hurt the returns in the fixed income portfolio in most client portfolios for the year. But I think when you look longer term, when you look at the 10-year record, your fixed income's up 4%, and the benchmark is up 3.64%. So it's done relatively well. And again, this year, you had the quarter. It's your high yield and your corporates, which are benefiting the portfolio. And then year to date, we're on par. Under the equity section, for the quarter, we're up 8.98% versus the index of 8.13%. And then year to date, the equities are up 3.82% versus the index of 1.37. I will tell you, we're starting to see the international markets pick up, and they're outperforming the domestic as of the end of September. But what we have seen is two things have really worked well for us this year is Our sector and asset allocation by emphasizing domestic large cap growth has really paid off for us. Because what we see is for the year, growth is up 20% and value was down 11%. And that was through the end of September. The other thing is some of our managers have done an extremely strong job. And if you flip to the next page, I really want to highlight the international sector. Two of them that I want to point out, and they're pretty much in the middle of the page. One is the Goldman Sachs GQG Partners International. That is up 8.75% this year, well, for the quarter. And so for the quarter, the EAFE index is up 4.8%. And the other one below that is the GQG Partners Emerging Markets. They're up 17% for the quarter. And the emerging markets index is up 9.56%. So we've gotten some really fantastic outperformance by our international managers. And if we flip to the next page, we can look at what the portfolio has done for the quarter and then year to date. So quarter to date, up just below 5%. Net of fees, and year to date just below 4%, and the indices are up 4.25% and 4.9% respectively. When we look at the 10-year number, you're up about 5.25%, and the index is up 6.75%. So, and also keep in mind that your actuarial assumption is at this point 6.5%. So. That's the other benchmark we need to meet. Okay. Any questions?
Yeah, Elizabeth, do those net numbers, my brain can't reconcile those with the graph way up on the summary page.
So on the summary page,
oh, that's a different scale. I'm sorry. That's why. I'm sorry. That's growth of $1, not it percentages. Is. That's yeah. That's why. I'm sorry. I now understand.
Okay, great. And then that's the end of this presentation. I think before we get into the investment review. There's the one thing I want to bring to your attention is, and it's the last page of this packet, and these are the expected returns for different asset allocations.
That one?
And it's titled Investment Portfolio Strategies.
It's a bunch of pie charts. Keep going. It really is the last page.
There we go.
There we go. So, and this is a point of reference for when we begin the conversation about the investment policy statement. At this point, your investment policy statement is what we call a balanced growth on this pie chart sheet. And again, your expected return is about 5.25% annually. They are proposing that we move to a growth strategy. And that would increase your expected return to 6% annually. There is more risk in the portfolio, but it gives us the ability to meet, at least come closer to the actuarial assumption of 6.5%. Okay. So that's the point of reference I wanted to point out.
And Elizabeth, take me back to my high school statistics. The larger the standard deviation, the greater the swing, so it could get much bigger returns and much smaller returns, the bigger the standard deviation.
That's correct. And usually you just take the expected return, say of 6%, and then you subtract 10.4, and that's the one standard deviation. But the way we have structured this is we've created some skewed. It's not a bell-shaped curve anymore. We actually have it skewed, And there's some other statistical things in there called kurtosis and whatnot. But as an example, if we, your current portfolio, if we have what we call a negative, very guarded year, you could lose about 8.85%. And then the upside would be 20.83%. In comparison with the growth portfolio, the range is a negative 11.25%, and the positive side of that would be a 25.5%. So you do have those larger ranges.
And you're, I think it, you seem to be reading numbers that aren't,
they aren't on here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cause I was trying to take the 6.02 minus 10 or plus 10 did not match.
No, they don't.
You're saying. Okay.
No, because we have created, we've done, our analysis puts into, and we impact different things. Kurtosis would then allow you to look at some, what we call those fat tails, the more extreme events, like we had with COVID, you know, the big downturn we had a decade ago. So it takes into account those situations, but then the optimization process creates a portfolio where you have more of your opportunities and more of your results very centered around the center. So it's not like you learned in high school or college where you have that perfect bell distribution. It's actually looks more like a I'm going to say a triangle, if anything. Okay.
Okay.
And it's probably more like an isosceles triangle. It's, you know, it's, it's, or a right triangle, it's kind of skewed. Okay.
Skewed to the upside or to the downside?
To the upside.
Okay.
The optimization process we employ really helps protect that downside the best we can. Okay. Any other questions?
Outstanding.
Thank you. Thank you.
Help me, Chief. I've lost my agenda.
There you go.
So that's the conclusion of your report, correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
In closing of that item, any questions on the presentation? So we have no old business, new business. Now, pension subcommittee, Charles, you've done a whole lot of work. Now you're on center stage to show us what you learned.
Why, thank you, Austin. I just want to be mindful that we are at 6:58. So about how much time do we have to discuss this very important matter?
Good question. Steve Havas, I believe this is a public meeting and the commission meeting is a public meeting.
Yeah. So it's a public meeting. It has no ending time. So you can take as much time as you want and you can just start your meeting, your regular meeting, anytime after 7 o'clock. You would be fine starting it at 7:05, 7:10, whatever. So,
and also the audiences can blend together without any kind of, since they're both public meetings, if somebody logs into the commission meeting, they can hear this also.
Chief, is that a separate Zoom connection or was it?
Yes, it is. We'll actually have to sign out of this one and back into the other one.
So if they try to sign in for the regular meeting at 7 o'clock, it won't be going yet.
They'll be waiting on us. That's fine.
Lisa or Lori, can you log off of here and jump on to the, are you able to host the monthly commission meeting and just be there in case anybody logs in?
I have my laptop handy here. I can do that. I can bring up another.
I want somebody to see that it hasn't started and they're not fiddling around with the wrong, trying to find a different address.
That's not a problem. I can take care of that.
But the answer to your question, Charles, is this is important to take as much time as you need.
All right, fine. I'll still be economy with time here. You have here, it looks like the chief is sharing the PowerPoint presentation. Commission members have seen this before. If he would be so kind as just to kick the PowerPoint presentation, I think it's going to go. There you go. And you see here that this is the investment policy statement revisions for the York Area United Fire and Rescue's defined benefit pension plan. And if you could advance there, Chief. Investment subcommittee met throughout the course of the spring and summer and concluded some recommendations you'll see here tonight and our presentation last month to the commission. And now I present to you the three members involved in this. It was myself, Lester Rhodes from Yoffer, and Supervisor George Dvoriak, also from Springsbury. We're met throughout the course of the summer to discuss the recommendations you're going to see before you. Next slide. We were assigned to review the investment policy. Oh, you're good. You're good. We were assigned to review the investment policy. And I just want to review some of the facts associated with the pension plan. Participants are former Springsbury Township firefighters, now under Yoffer. The funds is funded by Act 205 funds, employee contributions up to 5% of salary, and you offer funding from the municipalities. So there are three different pools of funding coming into this to keep this fund with contributions in, for principal contributions in to generate investment returns. Next slide. And Chief, I'll advise you in advance, there might be some animations here, so just be mindful of those. I'll give you a click or something just to.
Okay.
All right. The pension fund challenge is, and you heard Elizabeth talk to us this very evening, the actuarial assumption is in order for this thing to remain solvent enough to meet the obligations of the retirees in the long run, we need a rate of return around 6.5%. Throughout the course of our analysis, and this is before we had a very strong bang up quarter here, it's that's shaping up here in the equity markets, but we were projecting long run annualized expected future returns of this fund in the current investment mix around 5.25%. And so you can see that gap there. And we really wrestled with this, particularly, of course, our debate is discussing this after the huge drawdown in equities. And as a result of the coronavirus, and then now we're starting to see the exact flip as we had a dramatic drop in gross domestic product in the first part of the year with the onset of the coronavirus. We also had a very strong rebound in gross domestic product in the next half of the year. Now we're still concerned, at least I am still concerned that, you know, even though we had a big drop down and a big return up, we're still going to be a little bit down. An economic environment may still be a little challenging longer run. So we see the great returns we're seeing here with the most recent investment report, but we think long run, we're probably going to be in that 5.25% with our current investment mix. Just a couple other facts. We have 22 participants. You can see the breakout there. And of the Act 205 revenues, they will decline as firefighters retire. We get, for every participating firefighter, we get Act 205 numbers or funds. As those firefighters retire from the plan and reach that great milestone of retirement, you know, we're going to get less funds coming in. So that's another challenge to this fund that we've examined. Next slide, Chief. We reviewed these numbers, you know, primary to see, is there a way we can look at the new mix? Is there a better way to get some rate of returns? And Elizabeth and Austin kind of had that little bit of preliminary discussion at the tail end of the Fulton presentation tonight. We're essentially going to recommend that, is that we would change this investment mix. So if you go to the next slide, Chief, this is not as flowery or as good as what Elizabeth and Fulton Financial Advisors has presented, but essentially this is what our current investment policy is. We have these various targets. And as you can see that, you know, we are not that heavy on the equities from a target perspective, nor for a range perspective. And we are pretty heavy on the fixed income, which, you know, has done us pretty well for part of the time, But, you know, we can certainly look to see what the long-term prospects are for fixed income, particularly when you're in that world, even still, though, that, you know, we got a little bit of rise in rates. We're still looking at a 10-year treasury rate less than 1%. And so it's going to be a challenge, I think, long-term to have the get the rate of return with our investment mix. What we are proposing, and after serious consultation amongst ourselves, in several dialogues with Annette and Elizabeth with regard to see what sort of options there are, is our next investment mix. And if you just click there, Chief, we are proposing that we would expand our target ranges for cash and fixed income would essentially collapse so that we would have an 18% to 50% range there. As you can see, it's kind of bringing in the fixed income a little bit and expanding out the equities. Now, we understand that, you know, looking at a pension long term that is, you know, really is equities at a 65% target as we're outlining, how risky is that? Well, we did some research only to learn that York County and Lancaster counties, their countywide pension programs have pretty much that 65% target. And we do have here as alternatives, probably a lower target than what you see presently, and a narrower range, again, so that we can take advantage of using some of the funds to increase our equities. We have seen certainly that over the, you know, bonds have done particularly well for a period of time, but we think that equities are going to be the better opportunity for us to increase the rate of return and hit that actuarial target of 6.5%. So if you go to the next slide, Chief. We also offer some other technical changes to the investment policy. And for everyone who looked into their packet, I have two versions of the policy. The red line that Elizabeth kind of walked through and made some of these technical changes. And you can see every single one of these in the red line version in one form or another. But you can see we've kind of changed our benchmarks. Really put a greater emphasis now that we need to be mindful and meet the actuarial assumption. Elizabeth has kind of already started that in her presentation. She mentioned that as an important benchmark in her presentation earlier. We clarified a little bit of use of the ETFs. The language was a little bit murky on that, and clarified bond quality limits. So it's not just a question of, you know, what type of bonds. We think we're strengthening a little bit of that fixed income portion with some qualitative statements with regard to the quality of the bonds that we get when they're purchased. So, Chief, next slide. I did want to mention one other thing, one little typo that our illustrious chairman, Austin Hunt, brought to our attention prior to the meeting. There is one phrase in the investment policy, not redline, where there is a prohibition against non-publicly traded comments. We do need to make a technical correction there, and that is, it says, but limited to oil, natural gas, et cetera. It should read, but not limited to. We want to expand that as possible. So there's a typo correction that we would like to also incorporate as part of our changes tonight. It is not in written form, but it is something that we do recognize. So what are the next steps? Well, we are here tonight for the first bullet point of this, is to consider and request and recommend that we do adopt these changes to the investment policy that you see in the red line, as well as in the draft statement there, with an additional change to that, add that extra not under the prohibited non-publicly traded investments. After that, we would just simply authorize Fulton Financial Advisors of this revised investment policy, which they have helped us create. And then the next steps, if adopted, that we would advise Conrad Siegel, our actuary, of these investment policy changes as well, so that they can, as part of their next actuarial analysis of this plan, make the changes and understand how we have changed that investment mix. So I am happy to answer any questions with regard to our effort. I know I have George on here. I don't know if I saw Lester with us or not yet tonight.
Yeah, Lester's still in.
Lester's here, audio only.
Okay, well, he's welcome to chat me anything that I can try to speak on his behalf if he wishes.
He's covered everything.
But
Charles, do I... Is it, as I read the investment policy, you don't really set a target growth rate. You say you're changing the wording to fulfill the actuarial assumption.
That is correct.
Are we getting in a chicken and egg? Who sets the target? If the policy matches this, is the policy states to match the actuarial assumption, but the actuarial assumption is assuming the policy performance. How does a numerical target come out of that give and take?
That is an excellent question, Austin. I will tell you it's that and I've always maintained throughout this process, I think they're kind of two independent functions here. The actuarial assessment is really taking a look at our fund balances and projected retirement ages or retirement years for the participants, the amount of funds going in, and their expected rate of returns over time. And based on any given metrics at any given point in time, the actuarials are going to be able to make that kind of like take into all those future events, expected rate of return, and then determine what the actuarial assumption is for us to meet it at that point in time. That is independent necessarily of the mix, although the mix does influence it. So in a way, these are kind of two independent forces trying to self-reinforce each other. We want our investment advisors to be able to get the rate of return to certainly meet that. If they exceed that, so much the better, particularly for those periods of times where we exceed it, because there could be those periods where we don't meet it. So the investment mix will help determine what the actuarial assumption is. And the expectation is by getting this different investment mix with the optimized portfolios Fulton revises or references, that we could then in turn have a lower actuarial assumption if we get the rate of return higher because of this investment mix. Certainly the opposite is the case. If we don't get the rate of return that we need, then we could have a higher actuarial assumption that we need to make when we do our annual analysis of the pension actuarial needs. Hopefully that makes it any sense. And I'd certainly welcome Elizabeth to comment any further on that or add to that if she wishes.
You did an excellent job.
Wow. Thanks, Elizabeth.
If I, and I'm trying to catch up to you, Charles, and you've done a lot of legwork here and you have a lot of personal understanding. Page 3 of your PowerPoint, just the funding sources, the Act 205 funds is based on the employee headcount. And obviously, correct, employee contributions is based on employee headcount. So as our employee headcount transitions from active employees to retirees, we're not going to have any new employees. So our employee headcount is only going to go down. So are we going to hit a tipping point with this self-correcting circle? Is there going to be a tipping point where our actuarial assumptions are going to need to be 10, 12, 14% to satisfy, because we're going to have a negative cash flow as the retirees are drawing out of the principal. So as I understand it, then that tips back to straight funding from the municipalities. Is that correct?
That is correct. Now, a lot can happen between now and that tipping point. And essentially doing the actuarial analysis that we do, that's the canary in the coal mine, if you will. That's the early warning indicator. When we see 1 year that the assumption ticks up, there may be a point in time where that actuarial assumption requires that additional kick in from the municipalities. That is very true. But having said that, by taking actions now and trying to improve the investment mix to get just that few additional basis points of return now and every year hence, we should be able to postpone that very notable tipping point, presuming we're getting the rate of return that we're expecting.
And I noticed in the chief's reports for our monthly meeting that, and I only have handwritten notes, chief, maybe you can help me. Item number, numeral 10C, our distress score is zero. How does that fit into this discussion?
I'm sorry, I'm not as familiar with the distress score number.
Chief, the last time they did that, we had a distress score of one, which meant that we, as I understood it, we would have some difficulty. It forecast the potential for difficulty in funding in the future, but at the time they weren't making any recommendations on change.
And that was the actuary report. Was that in the I can't remember the actuary.
Yeah, that was, that was, correct me if I'm wrong, Lisa, that was actually in the audit report from the pension fund. You're muted.
Okay, I have not read the audit report.
That we get separate. It comes in the mail and they notify us what our rating is.
And so, that's a state function. That's not a...
Yeah. Correct.
Yes.
But zero is better than one, so we're improving.
Essentially, yeah.
Okay.
And to the extent that we can get better than average, or at least better than actuarial assumption returns, that distress number should stay at zero for some time, perhaps even get positive. But certainly any given market that is a downdraft, a systemic downturn in all asset classes certainly would challenge that.
I think actually zero is actually the best score you can
do. Oh, is it?
I believe.
Can't get a positive?
No.
Okay. I'm not familiar with the scale or the that
particular. That was my understanding of it.
Yeah.
Well, I've been called a zero most of my life, and I always take it as a compliment. So. Any other questions for the subcommittee?
And Elizabeth, I did want to first, before we conclude on all the questions, give you an opportunity if there's anything else that you wanted to add. I did notice you made some comments in your presentation previously, but if there's anything you wanted to add here.
No, I'd say I've been laughing at Austin's humor tonight. But no, I think I enjoyed working with you, Chuck, and the other committee members, George and, and Lester. It's been very helpful. And it's been a rewarding experience, and you had excellent questions, and you were really focused on doing, as you said, making sure that this plan is here for the future pensioners, so that you don't hit that tipping point where things become pretty ugly for you. So this was a good way to start that process.
Do any of the firefighters that are present want to add comments?
No, I'm fine.
Does it all make sense?
Yes.
Are you comfortable with it? So in a nutshell, just so we're all clear, the investment policy is suggesting that we get slightly more aggressive with our investment target investments, which on average will give us a higher return, but increases the possibility of a loss. I see Elizabeth nodding. That's an oversimplification, and she's tried to pad the downside by saying they're smart enough not to lose all our money, but there is a bigger downside risk than currently.
Yeah. And I think a good example is that, especially during the COVID, we're really on top of that. We made sure we had the portfolio in the right sectors of the market. We had a huge downdraft, as it was pointed out, but we have rebounded very strongly. And, the portfolio to this point is doing what it needs to do for your organization. And we do those little changes here and there. As I said earlier, we were very highly weighted in large cap domestic growth, and that's really benefited your portfolio. And we do those other tweaks. We have done a really good job in screening our managers. Those are the things that can just add maybe, you know, a quarter of a percentage point a year for you, other than getting the asset allocation for you. So, and that's what we strive to do.
And Lisa or Chief, remind me of the MMO calculation. Is the township contribution based on immediate needs or long-term actuarial needs?
That's calculated every 2 years for the immediate. That's not projecting down the road.
Okay. Steve, help me. What legislatively? What is our next step? Adoption.
Well, we'll need to formulate that into a resolution establishing a new investment policy, and we can do that at the December meeting. You know, based on the recommendation. So, if you want to come out of here with maybe a motion from the board authorizing the preparation of a resolution. Amending the investment policy in accordance with the recommendation of the investment committee.
So moved.
Okay.
Charles is stealing my opening line, but that's a motion has been moved. Any seconds? No seconds?
I'll second it.
I got Mr. Rooney.
Yay.
Who's first?
Gene, if you could call for the roll call vote.
Right. Can I ask a question before we do the roll call?
Absolutely, George.
If I understand it, we're going to go from A to C, but we're going to go through B first. Why, Steve, why not just approve the amended investment policy statement as presented and skip the need for a resolution?
Because my concern is that our investment advisors will want to see a formal authorization, just not a motion made for clarity's sake. And I'm assuming and probably that the investment policy by the terms of the policy cannot be amended without a resolution.
Okay.
So, you know, I think our investment advisor can say, I want to see a paper resolution that I can see exactly what was approved.
Okay.
And Steve, the signatory page on the policy, the investment manager, is that Annette? Or is that somebody in-house?
That would be Fulton Financial. So that would be either Annette or myself.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm sorry, Elizabeth. I didn't mean to... if you have the big pen, I didn't mean to brush on your authority.
You know, it just has to be a representative of Fulton Financial. So it could be my
question, George. Moved and seconded. Gene, if you could, are there any other questions before we move to the vote? Hearing none, Gene, if you could do the roll call vote, please.
Chairman Hunt.
Yes.
Mr. Rooney.
Yes.
Mr. Worcester?
Aye.
Mr. Dvoriak?
Yes.
Mrs. Wingert?
Aye.
Mr. Rhodes?
Aye.
Mr. Stafford?
I abstain.
You're abstaining. Okay. All right.
Excellent. 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 Well done, Charles, Lester, George, and Elizabeth and Annette. Thank you. Hearing nothing else, I will call to adjourn the pension meeting. Annette and Elizabeth, thank you for joining us. I think we all need to log off and log on to our monthly meeting Zoom, which should be in Lisa's email. Thank you all. See you on the other side.
Good night. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you, everyone.